From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. It's good to have you with us as we let the Bible speak one more time on Christ taking Galilee by the power of the Spirit, looking afresh at His ministry, both in word and in love, and the mighty power with which God blessed that ministry among the people. There's a lot for us to learn here, a lot for us to pray for in our own lives at ministry. So let's take time today to consider carefully the Word of God. Before we do so, however, we'll have some music, and before the music, our hot topic for today, Million Dollar Tracts. A gospel tract designed on the front to look like a $1 million bill has led to a court case. There's no such denomination in American currency as a $1 million bill, but the American Secret Service still moved in and confiscated thousands of the tracts last year. In recent months, Secret Service agents have approached people distributing the tracts to threaten them with arrest. Again, they confiscated the tracts. Their complaint is simple. The tracts look too much like legal tender, and that's illegal. But there are problems with the case, despite the fact that a district court judge has agreed with the feds. How can you counterfeit something that doesn't exist? You can't have a counterfeit $1 million bill, for there's no such bill to counterfeit. And even if there were such a bill, how could anyone think that the tract in question is a genuine bill when it's printed on the back with a gospel message? To get the answer to such questions, the case went to the Fifth Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals. It would seem that the Secret Service is overreacting. While they confiscate gospel tracts that nobody could reasonably believe to represent U.S. currency, they allow internet sites to sell sets of fake bills in all sorts of denominations, fakes that deliberately simulate genuine currency, including the name and stamp of the United States Treasury. Despite Secret Service opposition, the $1 million tract seems to receive a willing welcome from those to whom it's offered. Perhaps it's the novelty of it that opens the way. If so, well and good. More power to those who distribute it. It asks the million-dollar question, will you go to heaven? That's an important question, and the tract seeks to show in a brief space that all are lawbreakers and therefore under condemnation, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and that sinners should therefore repent and believe on Christ to be saved. I hope that the Lord will use it and the millions of gospel tracts that Christians distribute every day to bring many to His Son. But here's a cautionary note. According to the Secret Service, some people have actually tried to cash the tract for $1 million. Crazy? Yes, crazy. And crazier than you think. Here people are told about something that's far more valuable than $1 million, something that's for eternity, not just for time. So what do? They discard the infinitely valuable for the hope of big money that they can never obtain. They give up the reality of eternal life and happiness for the dream of instant gratification. What folly! And yet, how widespread is it? We do well to ponder the question of the Lord Jesus Christ. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's much more than a million-dollar question.
Yes, I stand in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was great, pardon there was forty by Tory, there my burden so for me but he. At last my sin I heard, then I trembled at the law of spurn, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, I have mentioned a useful little tool that we have produced to help Christians with their Bible study. Now, any pastor will tell you that one of the most frequently made requests that he receives from people is for help in studying the Bible. Another very frequent request is for help in establishing a real prayer life. In fact, most Christians will confess that for them, these are the two most important and yet most difficult aspects of the Christian life. Bible study and prayer must always go together. Solid Bible study will be an immeasurable help to your prayer life. With that in mind, we have produced a pamphlet titled The Ten Commandments of Bible Study. Now, they're not really commandments, more guidelines to tell you how to read and get the most out of the Bible, chapter by chapter. When you follow these guidelines, you will have a body of material from each chapter that will form the basis for your approach to God. Let me give you an example. The very first thing to look for in every chapter you read in the Bible is, what does it teach me about God? Look carefully and write down the results. Then as you come to pray, you approach God. You worship and praise Him, not in mere trite or empty phrases, but as you have just found Him in His Word. In this way, your praying is linked to your Bible study, and it's always fresh. The same holds good throughout all 10 guidelines. So I highly recommend that you write or call us and ask for your free copy of the Ten Commandments of Bible Study. It's yours for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be happy to send you the Ten Commandments of Bible Study. And I trust that you will find it an answer to prayer and the best means that you have yet discovered to help you in the study of the Word and in the private place of prayer.
nations. So
turn one last time to consider the Lord Jesus Christ taking Galilee by the power of the Spirit. Having looked at his message and his method, we concentrate on his ministry and on his might. And I'm emphasizing again today that the gospel ministry is not merely something to do with what we say, it's how we say it, with what love, like the love of Christ, that we would convey the message. So let's return now as we think of Christ's ministry and Christ's mighty power.
The ministry of the gospel is a ministry of telling forth the truth. But the ministry of the gospel is the ministry of loving the unlovely. I speak for myself, and I think if you're honest, there are many of you will have to say the same thing. But I confess it before God and have done many a time. When I see a sodomite, my first reaction is not to love him, to give him the gospel, but to condemn him for the filthy sinner that he is. But was not I a filthy sinner, deserving of the same hell? When I see some unwashed, drug-taking, drunken hippie, or whatever the modern equivalent may be, when I see a punk rocker with strange hairstyle and piercings all over the body, I must confess, I may react with shock, surprise, or whatever. But the first thought is rarely the thought of love. The ministry of the gospel is a ministry not only of talking, but of loving. When you and I can't look beyond the color of a man's skin or the color of his hair or his position in society or the state of his bank balance or of his education, when we can't look beyond those things to see a soul that is going to live in God's eternity forever, a soul that needs to be saved, then we're not worthy of him whose name we bear, for his name is love. His miracles were intended to call sinners to repentance. You remember what Jesus said, "Believe me for the very work's sake." Again, those were miraculous works. But let me tell you, it's a wonderful testimony when we can say to sinners, "You don't understand all I'm saying. You can't grasp all I'm teaching. But will you look at what I'm doing? And what I'm doing will point you the way to Christ and the way to heaven." Ah, there's where we fail so often. It's the very opposite with so many of us. We say big things and we live rotten things. Our words are words of holiness, but our acts are acts of hypocrisy. God forgive us. God forgive us. Our Savior's ministry was one that he still can perform. Healing bodies, yes. But as a means to a greater end, his chief business as ours is to reveal God to men and call them to himself. The final word, and I can be brief with this. because I've already covered it in from one angle. His might or power in Luke 4:14, He returned in the power of the Spirit. It's a wonderful thing when you look at the great Galilean ministry of Christ that every sphere of creation had to bow to Him. He exercised supreme power over earth and over hell, over men and over devils, over life and over death. Spurgeon made this comment: as He healed all sorts of diseases, so He heals all sorts of sin. I want to make that clear this morning. If you're in this meeting with one of these felt needs that I've talked about, you're battling with guilt. The guilt of sin, perhaps great sin, hidden sin, vile sin, damning sin. You're battling with sin that's got you beaten. The guilt of it, however much you cover it over, is eating your soul alive. And you feel unclean and unworthy, unloved and unlovable, unwanted, alienated from God, cast out into the edge of hell. You feel the ravages of sin in your body and in your soul. And if you're honest, you feel the absolute futility of the religion that you have professed to this point in time. Then let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ has power to save. We sang that hymn this morning, I believe Jesus saves. And His blood makes me whiter than snow. In Ulster we change the chorus in the second time around. And we say, I believe we shall win. For we fight in the strength of our King. Let me tell you of a Christ who can save you and make you more than conqueror. He who invaded the strongholds of hell in Galilee invades them still in Greenville. He who triumphed over Satan's most powerful forces triumphs to this day. He is able to save to the uttermost. To paraphrase Spurgeon, are you possessed with the fever of lust? Thank God Christ can cool your hot blood and make you chaste and pure. If you suffer from the dropsy of drunkenness, He can cure you of it so that you'll never return to it. One of my happiest memories is kneeling in the grass over the dark brown cover of an old ex-army tent where I was holding a gospel mission in rural Ulster. Kneeling in the grass with an alcoholic, a man whose life and marriage and home were wrecked by his enslavement to the booze, to hear him cry to Christ to come into his heart and save him, to see him rise from his knees a new creature. 44 years later, let me get that right. 34 years later, I'm not that old. 34 years later, he's still sober. He's never supped at the devil's table ever since. A trophy of the grace of God. If you're spiritually blind, deaf, dumb, He can cure you. If you're afflicted with a stony heart, He promises that He'll give you a heart of flesh. If you're incurable beyond the help of man or religion, let me introduce you to the great physician. His name is Jesus. I indeed, if as every sinner is, you're dead in trespasses and in sins, dead and with the stench of the grave about you, He's able to raise you up and give you life. There's none too hard for Him. By the New Testament is clear. There's one Savior. His name is Jesus. There's one fountain. It's the precious blood that He shed. There's one gospel. It's the gospel of God's sovereign grace. There's one hope for the hopeless, and that is in receiving Christ. He's not limited to saving one or two. He saves freely. We read that his fame went abroad. He gained that fame rightly, for he saved wherever he went. He's able to save to the uttermost. Doesn't cost you anything. I was just thinking this morning when I was praying before this meeting. I came to the Lord, believed in the Lord, trusted the Lord, took the Lord. I didn't enrich him. I didn't give him anything. I took it all. When the Lord Jesus went around Galilee doing all this, all he gained was the fame, so that others would have the confidence to come and trust him too. Now here's the unchanging Christ. If you're still in your sins, man, woman, young person, if you're still in your sins, lay down the arms of your rebellion before this King of grace and cry, King of my life, I crown thee now. I'll have Christ. If you're already saved, then do what Matthew 4:24 tells us and bring the needy to Jesus. How? Bring them in the arms of love and faith and prayer. Bring them under the preaching of the gospel where Christ can be set before them. And you will find that the Christ who took Galilee by storm through the power of the Holy Ghost has lost none of his ancient sovereign power. He can sweep aside every sinful or satanic opposition and bring sinners by grace into the fullness of eternal salvation. May God give us a clear sight of Christ, his message, the gospel, his method, preaching and teaching, his ministry, loving and saving, and his might, able to deliver from every sinful and satanic force. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy gracious word. We thank thee for him who is the word, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, for his person and for his work, for his message and for his ministry. We thank thee, O Lord, for this time we have been able to spend considering Christ. Lord, apply the message to every heart. Forgive us for our lack of Christ-likeness. Forgive us, O God, for our lack of love. Forgive us, Lord, for the hardness of our hearts. How little we know about weeping for sinners. How little, O Lord, we know about loving as our Savior loved us. God, forgive us today. Stir our hearts fully to follow Christ. O, give fruit now for the preaching of thy word, in the changed lives of Christians, in the reviving of thy work in this church, in the sending forth of witnesses from this place to tell forth the gospel and to preach Christ and him crucified to a needy world. And, O Lord, give fruit in the changed lives of sinners seeking the Savior. Hear our prayer, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak,
1207, Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.